I'm going to introduce our first speaker, who is Leslie Kowaleski. Leslie is sitting right here. She's the Associate State Director for the March of Dimes California chapter. In that role, her leadership responsibilities include program activities, advocacy, communications, IT, operations, and fundraising. Just a couple of things. But in addition to those responsibilities, she leads the March of Dimes Big Five State Prematurity Initiatives, and she's going to tell you more about that and what Big Five actually means. Leslie, come on up and join us.
I feel like I'm talking to all of our friends here. So, I have the privilege of introducing this topic and really kind of setting the stage for the rest of the speakers to come along. And there isn't much room up here, is there? So hang on to that.
I'll hold the prop.
You'll hold the prop. Thank you. So before I get started, I want to just thank a number of people in the room that actually helped bring this project to fruition. And a few of those folks are going to be speaking today, and a few of you are in the room. So thank you very, very much. Without all of your support, we wouldn't be talking about a project across multiple states to eliminate elective deliveries. So nothing to disclose. So why early elective deliveries? Why early term deliveries? Well, we're talking about those deliveries between 37 and 07 and 38 and 6-7 weeks gestation. We know that babies do best if they're born 39 to 40 weeks. And so we want to push on and get those deliveries that are happening during this 37 to 38 week period up to 39 to 40. Why? Well, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists have had some guidelines on the book since 1979. So for three decades, they've been trying to get their providers to really push those deliveries out of this area and into the 39 to 40 week period. We know that even a few days make a difference. We know babies that are born during this early term period are at risk of going to the NICU. They're more likely to have respiratory distress syndrome. They're more likely to be on a ventilator. We know that cerebral palsy is higher amongst these early term deliveries, and they have feeding and bonding issues. We also know the brain isn't fully developed, and this has been a very powerful message amongst women that it's important to wait in order for that brain to be fully developed. And we know that women just don't know. A survey that was published by Goldenberg in December of 2009 reports that women believe, or 7.6% of the women surveyed believe that full term was at 39 to 40 weeks, and we need to change that knowledge. So what has this knowledge and attitude done to our gestational curve? Well, you can see in the past 10 years how we have made change happen, not in a good way. You can see that we have more babies being delivered at less than 37 weeks, and look at the number of babies being born at 37 to 38 weeks in 2009 compared to 1990. That is an area that California wanted to take issue with. We wanted to push on that period of time. We believed it was the low-hanging fruit. We believed that if we took that area and found a way to move the needle on it, we would have a chance of improving the gestational curve here in this state. So that was our mission in August of 2009. We came together as a state. There's about 30 of us that actually met here in California to talk about what can we do to move the needle on early term deliveries. And at that point, we knew that we needed a provider education piece. We wanted to push on public knowledge, and we felt like we needed a tool. We needed something that would level the playing field in hospitals and really support hospitals in driving change. This was a collaborative endeavor. If it wasn't for the foresight of Connie Mitchell, who is going to be presenting later, that we really wouldn't be where we are today with this toolkit. And the prop, please. Thank you. So this collaborative endeavor was an endeavor between the State of California Maternal Child Health, the California Maternal Quality Care Collaborative, and the March of Dimes. We set out to develop a tool that would meet the needs of hospitals. And the toolkit is divided into a number of sections. We've got a making the case section, we have an implementation, we've got a data collection, and we have both provider and patient education. So it's a really wonderful resource, and it's meant to support hospitals in driving change. This is the key change components that are outlined in the toolkit. You can see that there are a number of buckets here, and those buckets are actually pieces within the toolkit that a hospital can adopt to create change. We are focused, and I'll point out a couple of these buckets throughout the remainder of my talk, but we're really focused on really supporting hospitals in creating the change around the blue boxes. So we want to ensure that hospitals are readjusting their scheduling practices for non-medically indicated, those C-sections and inductions that are scheduled, that there's not a clear medical indication. We want to work with hospitals to ensure that they're not scheduling deliveries unless they're medically necessary before 39 weeks. We're also asking that hospitals write hospital policy. So they're memorializing change in an actual document. It's not hearsay, it's not one shift doing it one way, one doctor doing it another. This is hospital practice. And in order to make that happen, you need to rewrite hospital policy. We looked at establishing hospital leadership that would call into question those deliveries that were non-medically indicated. And that's affectionately called the hard stop. So if a doctor is trying to schedule an induction or a C-section that doesn't have a clear medical indication, the nurses are empowered to say, "Hey, wait a minute, doc, this does not meet criteria. Would you like to talk to Dr. Jones about scheduling this delivery?" It only takes one or two of those calls or one of two of those questions to create change within the hospital. So those are key underpinnings within the toolkit that are memorialized and highlighted in the document. So this was not a California-created methodology. This was methodology that was actually piloted in 1999 by Dr. Brian Oshiro. We're very fortunate to have this man at Loma Linda University. He actually was recruited out from Intermountain Health and currently is practicing in Loma Linda. And he showed that he could reduce, with that hard stop, calling into question those non-medically indicated deliveries, that you could reduce elective deliveries from 28% to 3%. And that change has been sustained today. So that's quite a big drop. So, y'all know that implementation is damn hard. It's easy to build a toolkit, it's easy to put together a brochure, but go out and make it happen, drive change. So we in the Big Five states, and I'll get the Big Five states are California, Texas, Florida, New York, and Illinois. We met in 2007 to figure out what we could do together to drive change, to really have an impact at the local level, and to really know that we're making a change. But it was hard coming out of 2007 to really figure out what that change needed to be. So why the Big Five states? Why did you all get together? Well, there's 4.1 million babies born annually in the U.S., and 38% of those 4 million are born in the Big Five states. So the idea is simple. If we can drive change in the Big Five, we have a chance to sway national numbers. Look at the late preterm births. It's 37.7% of the late preterm births are happening in the Big Five states, and 39.9% of the C-sections that are occurring in this country are happening within the Big Five states. We also have a huge percent of the Hispanic births at 63.4%. So it makes sense for us to work together. We're more alike than we are different. We have thousands of births happening in the Big Five states. We have over 900 birthing hospitals in our states. It's a huge jump, huge number. So this is what Big Five collaboration looks like today around the less than 39. I might grab my water here. It's the schematic that we've been pushing on since 2009. Remember, the toolkit started here in California. And we were fortunate that the other Big Five states had a Come to Jesus meeting under the leadership of Bill Sappenfield from Florida. He said, you know, we're all going to agree to meet once a year, or we're going to agree to follow California and work on the less than 39-week issue. And they all fell in line. We had a wonderful partnership around developing out the toolkit. It was a document that was in draft, and it was sent out to many of the entities that were working collaboratively across the Big Five states. And we really believe that if we could get comment and input from the other states, we could have a document that would be that would resonate with all hospitals in all states across the country. And indeed, we were successful. This toolkit has been viral. It's gone viral. We've got several doctors that have downloaded it, and we've got numbers to show just how far and wide it's gone, even internationally. We also have been working on consumer awareness, and you'll hear more about the consumer education campaign from Scott. The one that's elusive is population-based data, and we've been trying to use birth certificate data to really understand elective deliveries, and it's hard. Dr. Sappenfield is leading efforts, and he's developed a SAS workbook, so we're hopeful through the COIN initiative that we'll have a tool that will be a proxy in our states to help us understand exactly where elective deliveries are happening and the movement that we're making. That leads us into implementation, and like I said, it's darn hard. When we came out of the development of the less than 39-week toolkit, Dr. Brian Oshiro said, let's pilot it. Let's build a 5x5 network of hospitals to really test drive this toolkit. Let's put together a request for a proposal. Let's bring hospitals together to work across state lines and within state lines to drive change. And let's start this before the toolkit is even in print, before they even have a hard copy. Let's get this going, Leslie. I'm like, okay, Brian, I've never done this before. And he said, well, let's get the hospitals interested. So we, across the Big Five states, put out a request for proposal offering hospitals $5,000 to come along and play. We asked that it was a simple one-page application. We asked them to put together a quality improvement team that would work with us on piloting the toolkit and that theory in their hospital. We had multiple applications and settled on 26 that were of wide diversity, and Becky will talk a little bit more about what that hospital profile looked like. We actually started conference calls in December of 2010. And throughout 2011, hospitals entered in their scheduling data into the March of Dimes data portal, and we're working together on implementing change. We also worked very diligently on supporting those hospitals at the local level. Many of you know that the March of Dimes has chapters in each of our states, and the Big Five states are the same, and we have staff at the local level that would go out and work individually with these hospitals. So, implementation at the hospitals. What did we ask them to do? We asked them to follow a checklist and a timeline. We really centered them on following a checklist of activities. We actually convened our conference calls early on and really, you know, laid out that checklist, and the hospitals then came along monthly to check in and problem solve on meeting the benchmarks. We also asked them to complete a pre- and post-qualitative survey so that we'd have a better understanding of what was going on the floor. We knew that the numbers would tell us one piece of the puzzle, but we really wanted to understand how the hospitals were driving change and what the issues were, so that we could take that information and go out beyond the 26 hospitals to drive further change. We knew that the lessons learned were going to be applicable not only within the Big Five states, but across the country. So we asked the hospitals to fall in line to stand hand in hand on January 3rd. We actually used that language. On January 3rd, we want all of you to be standing hand in hand and celebrating that you have your written hospital policy in place, that you have your scheduling guidelines that call out what's medically necessary and not medically necessary, and that you have your medical hard stop leadership identified and in place. We wanted them to create their gate, because we knew that all scheduled inductions and C-sections would go through that gate, and if we could challenge those deliveries, collect data on those deliveries, that we would be successful. And indeed we were. Here's some of the qualitative survey findings. I'm not able to go through all of the findings at this point in time, but you can see prior to the start of this project, only one of the 26 hospitals had written hospital policy in place. Afterwards, we had 21.5. One hospital was split into two, so that's the half. Formal scheduling guidelines, 5 pre, 22.5 post. And we had 20 hospitals validating or verifying that they had leadership in place prior to the start of the project that could really call into question these elective deliveries. Afterwards, 22. So additional outcomes. It was really wonderful to hear from the hospitals consistently throughout 2011 on the change that was happening. And we found that there was more consistency amongst practitioners in defining what was medically necessary and non-medically necessary. We know that nurses are empowered. This toolkit and this project really was a leveling field, and it really created a team to really call into question these elective deliveries, and it empowered the nurses to have a voice. We also heard that there was a shift in when babies are being delivered. It's not a 9-to-5 job. Babies come at night and the weekends. So staffing had to be adjusted. So with that, I want to thank everyone and know that the toolkit is a free download. This is a document of the people because of the Title V dollars that were put forth. You can find it on the marchofdimes.com website as well as CMQCC as well as the state of California. And thank you. Questions?
Any questions so far? All right. Oh, there is one right here, Les.
Hi. I'm a midwife. I work in international settings.
Okay.
We're trying to implement something similar in Bangladesh.
Oh, wow.
I'm very interested in uh-huh. a particular facility. I'm really interested in this hard stuff idea.
Uh-huh.
I just wondered if you could elaborate slightly on how it works, because obviously in our settings, uh-huh. the power dynamics within maternity care team are
uh-huh.
really
uh-huh.
difficult.
Uh-huh.
So I'd like to know how it actually works.
Just repeat the question for the mic, for the recording.
She works in Bangladesh or is doing international work. She's a midwife, and she wants to know exactly how the hard stop works. It all starts with the scheduling process, and in a hospital in this country, and I'm not familiar with Bangladesh, you'll have to help me. If a hospital or if a provider is going to be conducting a C-section delivery or an induction has to be scheduled. There's a team that's put into place to make those deliveries happen, and so they're scheduled. So at that point in time, when they get scheduled at the OR, get scheduled on the floor, those scheduled deliveries are called into question. Doctors do actually rounds on the scheduling form to see what's medically necessary and not medically necessary. If there is not a clear indication, then if a doctor's rounding on those scheduled deliveries, and they call that doctor and say, what's going on? Let's have a review of these cases. In a lot of hospitals, before that delivery is even scheduled or even put on the books, unless there's a clear indication then it's either put on or not put on, and the nurse will call into question scheduling that delivery and call the hard stop doc to come in and take a look at that delivery. So it's in some hospitals, getting to that formal hard stop has been difficult, and they do peer review after the case is the first step into it. So they're actually pulling charts on those early term deliveries and going through those as a peer review activity, and then working with doctors individually. So it really depends on, I think, the hospital, the situations, and I would say the resources, especially when you're talking internationally.
Yeah.